This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank. And we're looking at everything.
Twice, looking at it twice.
We're looking at it twice. Yes, we are returning to a very important topic because we have the queen herself,
World Record
here
holder,
with us to talk about squirting. Lola Jean is a sex educator, mental health professional, wrestler dom, and world record holder for volume squirting solo, providing the no-frills sex education we both need and deserve. Lola brings a refreshing understanding to sex, sexuality, and kink to push individuals past what they think they're capable of. Lola helps individuals stop making excuses and unlock who they are and what they deserve. Oh boy, I love that.
Yeah, I got a lot of the porn niches wrapped into one within there, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're so excited to connect, especially about squirting, because Laura and I are not squirters.
Yet.
Actually.
Yet. Yeah, exactly.
Yet, actually. I did squirt once, and I've been chasing the dream ever since.
Okay, so you can do it. You know you can do it.
Yes,
you've done it.
I know I can do it. And, you know, for a long time, I was, dare I say, maybe a squirter denier. And then what happened?
Oh,
I was
like, no.
I was like, actually, no, that was legit. Like, and it was a specific situation where it was all external. Like, nothing was happening. I wasn't, like, stimulating my G-spot or anything. So it just happened from, like, powerful clit stimulation.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, it happened. Couldn't believe it.
They do exist.
Yeah. When did you first realize that you were a squirter?
Or become one?
So,
yes.
I think that most of the time, unless we have education or podcast or something like that, the first time we squirt, we don't know unless someone either alerts us to it or we have like significant evidence, like you destroyed a bed.
Yes.
So the first time I was aware that I squirted, I think it was around 26. But there was one time when I was 22, and I think it was, so before I started having sex and people started going down on me way after that because the world's fucked up.
Right.
But I remember distinctly noting that like the sex we were having, my partner asked like if I came and I was like, did you not feel it? So I'm like, okay, I remember saying that. So it was like distinctly wet, but I didn't have enough wherewithal to know if I squirted then or not. So maybe when I was 22, but otherwise it started happening when I was 26.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out on my own and then it's been happening ever since, a little bit to my dismay.
Right.
What is your journey with it? Like, you're sort of talking about it like it was happening. When do you and how do you feel like you leaned in and became this expert on it, dare I say, these days? Like, how did that sort of progress? Was it conscious or was it sort of thrust on you or a combination of both?
Kind of a combination. Like, everything happened at the same time. I started pro-doming, like delving into sex education, doing fetish wrestling, like all at the same time, because I was in a little bit of a fuck it mode and I'd quit my job in advertising. I was waitressing. Then I got fired from that. So it all sort of happened at once, including the squirting thing. That was like right around when I quit my job in advertising. And I was exploring my sexuality again, as I do like every 4 years. I feel like it's like there's a new revolution of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my second revolution. And the individual I was with, I feel like it was the first person that really connected with me for who I was personally and sexually.
Mm.
And for reasons unrelated to the squirting, after we had sex for the first time, and I think I squirted for the second time, he broke it off. And so I was left with like, okay, my body can do this thing. The person that got me to do this thing isn't available to me anymore. So now I got to figure this out. And so I did it via masturbation. I was like, "What? Okay, body, we didn't know you could do this. What else is going on that I don't know about?" And from there, I'm really competitive. So it kind of became like a series of challenges of like, I wonder if I can gush on command. I wonder if I can do it by doing this with my body and that. And like, then I started performing and like at the box and shit like that. So it kind of progressed from there, but it was really, I didn't intend to be a sex educator, or the way I put it is I didn't intend to disappoint my parents every day. But, you know, here we are.
Here we are.
It was more that in squirting as education, I was like, my experience isn't really talked about. And like, I set the record because I was like, pretty sure I can crush whatever science says.
Yeah. Yes. And thank God you did. Really quick, you said that you performed at the box. I used to go to the box all the time. I worked at this place that was like also co-owned by the people from the box. But did you do the act with like you squirted into like a champagne glass and drank it?
No, that was someone else. She was a G-spot squirter. I'm a clit squirter. I think it's a little prettier. But no, I did one called, it was called Splash Dance. So it was like Flash Dance where I'm like, I'm working hard in the mines or whatever that she does in Flash Dance. And then I do a bunch of drugs and get horny, take off all my clothes, squirt into a bucket, and then I hoist the bucket up a la Flash Dance and pour it on myself at the end.
Oh my God. What an amazing act. I wish I could have seen that.
Yeah.
So you're a clit
squirter. Post-quarantine, I performed like a couple months before COVID happened.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a hiatus because my body didn't work. And so they didn't talk to me for a while. And then the new creative director called me back in and I got my squirting redemption. So now I am back to performing there if there's not a quarantine and clubs are still open.
Right.
Yeah. If the world comes back.
Right.
God.
So you said that you're a clit squirter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you talk about the difference?
More about that, yes.
Yeah, so I can squirt in many ways, in many different ways. Sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes I can do it without hands at all. Not a lot, but a little bit. But mainly, I can squirt via G-spot stimulation where something's inside of me, but I much prefer just squirting via clit stimulation. So it sounds like, Rachel, how you squirted. And I prefer that kind of stimulation more so than internal. I squirt more. But it just like, I don't know. That's a sensation I prefer. But also that's when I make myself squirt. I just usually rub my clit. So.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any tips for our listeners out there?
So, it is not a one-size-fits-all thing. There might be a move or technique that works for a lot of people, but not all. And it's also something that it might happen today, tomorrow, a year from now, I teach a lot of squirting classes, and I get responses from people. Someone was like, 3 years ago, I took your class, and now I did it using the things you said. Yeah. It's mainly about understanding the body's response to it and then trusting your body to, like, go on autopilot and do something that doesn't embarrass you, or if it does embarrass you, like, deal with it, because our body just does embarrassing things. But it's really about the muscle control. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, Kegel weight the shit out of your vagina and have a strong, because you need to have a coordinated pelvic floor, because even a strong pelvic floor can have dysfunction. So these things either happen like a knee-jerk reaction. So sometimes we squirt and our muscles just do the thing. We don't have any control over that. But when we distill it down, when you contract with your pelvic floor, you're actually engaging with your G-spot. You're engaging with your clitoris. You're engaging with the like erectile tissue kind of around the clitoris and around the urethra. And when you do the act of squirting, you're elongating the pelvic floor, so lengthening that. So both of these things, when you do them, even without squirting, like, it should change your pleasure. It should feel good. And that's what, like, I kind of hate squirting, but I do have to love it, because what it gave me was, like, a different understanding of my body, and it put me with much more control, not just over squirting, but over my orgasm, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to bring that up because I did watch your full lecture on it, and it's interesting that you are known for this, but are like, like, I'm not necessarily advocating for it even. Like, there is a sort of societal fascination around it, but it's not necessarily, I like that you were like, we don't all have to do it. You don't have to be like, oh, it's this sexual hurdle, or it's this like trophy my partner gets for helping me squirt, that like, you do or you don't. And if it's something you do want to explore, that's a personal choice. I thought that was cool. I also liked that you took down this notion that it's equated to some kind of like mind-blowing orgasm, like that there's a Venn diagram there, but it's not necessarily, those aren't synonymous things.
Yeah.
That kind of blew my mind open, because I was thinking of squirting in most situations as related to a specific kind of orgasm because of the volume of fluid and the muscles going crazy. It just sounds climactic, you know?
Well, it's like, because if I'm having that kind of a crazy orgasm, I'm probably also squirting.
Yeah. But yes.
Every time I'm squirting, I'm also not having that crazy orgasm. So we usually will just see one of like the big climactic one. But I like to liken it to, because I also love sports, to footballs and touchdowns.
I love this analogy. Yeah, go for it.
They're all points. You can still win the game with field goals, and field goals are easier to get. But like sometimes you just want a touchdown. For those listening at home, a touchdown is an orgasm and field goals are squirting.
Yes. Right.
I love
it. So, because you don't necessarily have an orgasm every time one squirts, right? Like you can have one without the other. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, when they first do this, because they're not maybe intending to or controlling it, so it might happen with an orgasm. But I found that once I was able to understand my squirting, it happens much more easily and more often than orgasm. And I'm also not an easy to orgasm person. I'm a very easy to squirt person, but orgasming, it kind of is one of those where it's like you think about it and then it's gone. Like the cards align, you catch it.
Yeah, my analogy for orgasming is like crying on stage. Like if you try to push it and be like, here it comes, it goes away because you're like thinking about it. But if you're relaxed and actually in dialogue in the scene and like listening and letting your body just like feel the thing, then it happens. I also compare it to like shy bladder. Like if you have a hard time like peeing in front of someone else, it's a similar like performance anxiety and like muscle reaction to that kind of anxiety and tension.
Right.
It's also why we're like, if we're afraid of peeing on someone, it's like, have you ever tried to like pee on not a toilet? It's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, people get pee shy as like doms if they're doing like a golden scene too. So our bodies don't want to do it. We have to be able to do it.
Yeah. Also, we're like told for so long to like hold things in, you know, like that was even just something that I had a hard time with, like learning how to orgasm was I was like when it like a buildup of tension. And I was like, I don't know how to like release this. Like, I'm just like, you're just told to like hold it in. You know, I have to suck in my stomach. I have to like, I have to hold in my pee. I have to hold in my fart. You know what I mean? Like, I just have like always just been told by society to like hold things in.
Hard.
Yeah, it was hard for me. And like sometimes like when I did squirt, it was like an orgasm. Where like sometimes, you know, like I don't know, for me I have orgasms where it feels like things are like pushing out, you know, like it feels like my like vulva is like blossoming open, you know, and that is like the moment when I did squirt, because it was like I'm not controlling this is just like my muscles like opening and like pushing out something.
That's literally what's happening too, because the thing is like our pelvic floor controls urination, defecation, and orgasm. But you can't, like, when you squeeze one muscle, you squeeze them all. You can't isolate, okay, I'm doing it for orgasm now. Okay, I'm doing it for poop now.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You mentioned breaking science, and I do want to talk about your world record a bit, because I was fascinated that science truly believed you couldn't squirt more than bladder capacity, which is 950 milliliters, right? And you did 1250?
1250, yeah. It's like, so it's 950, like, comfortably. I think the human bladder can hold, you really shouldn't, but the human bladder can hold more, but it's very dangerous.
And I imagine that varies a little bit from person to person, right? Like, not all bladders are the same, I would think.
Yeah, probably not. And, like, there's expansion, but it's like, you know, you wouldn't recommend someone getting to that point. But, I mean, the thing is like, I squirted at 1,250 milliliters. I had, like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I want to hit a liter. That's what I want to do. I just want to get to that even 1,000. But I was like, I don't even know if I could pee that much.
Right.
Like, that was I was astounded that that all came. I knew I, like, had a high amount. I never really measured it, but I was, like, astounded it was, like, that much. When I get some sort of drink from, like, a bodega, I always look at it, and I'm like, ha, I squirted more than that.
When you set that goal for yourself, were you training and sort of like building up, or did you just say like, this is the event? Because from the pictures and the like website and some of the information around it, it looks like you just were like, this is the night, it's happening, I'm doing it. And then you crushed it. Or was there some like trial and error for you?
So mama loves the stage, and I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make it a whole fucked up event. They're going to be a kinky carnival. People are going to be putting on strap-ons and playing cock ring toss. I perform better with the crowd. It's just like more fun. But yeah, so I mean, training wise, like it's not like I was training of like, okay, let's see how much we can do today. But it was more when I was like practicing with my friend Tiana, who like helped me out with the whole event. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I can squirt for an entire minute. That's a long time. Should I just get it all out as fast as I can? Or should I like space it out for a minute? And they're like, just do it as fast as you can. That'll be more impressive. And that's more what I was trying to see of like how long. And basically when I did one practice, because I had a film crew with me and they're like, can you practice? That's the only reason I did it. But when I practiced, I think I got 750 milliliters and that was in 30 seconds. And I'm like, okay, so like I didn't really prep for that. And I got 30 seconds left. I really should be able to hit it. But the thing is that this record didn't exist. Like I was setting it. So I'm like, no matter what, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fine. But I want a liter.
Damn. What do you have to say to the people who say that squirting is just pee?
It's squirt, and that's why we call it squirt. Otherwise, we call it sexy pee. But also, like, who cares? You really want to debate it, but the thing is, no matter how many times I answer this question, I will still be asked it. Yes. And I'm tired of defending what my body does.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's just a thing my body does. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it, but, like, I have to live with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, why do people care, you know?
Why do they care if it's because I think it's specifically men like to assert their beliefs onto women's bodies. Obviously, not all women have vulvas, but like it's it just goes back into that archaic thing.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And men also like just want to have that power of being like, I made you squirt, you know?
Yeah, I love taking that power away. You were there, but let's be real. I did this whole thing on my own. And when I set the record, I didn't penetrate myself. And I didn't orgasm. And I was like, suck it.
Yeah. Yeah, there is like a weird pressure. I feel like when I heard about squirting, it was like, I want to be able to do this to like, you know, especially because I had a partner at the time who was like, have you ever squirted? Like, I want to make you squirt. And I was like, well, yeah, now I want to do it because you want me to. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do it for you. Like, I wasn't doing it because for myself, you know. But then I ended up, when I did do it, it was for myself. So I was pretty pleased about that.
It's like, it's still fine to like do things because other people enjoy them and we can take pleasure of that. I just can't tell you how many emails I get from people who feel so pressured to do something or someone says they're broken because they can't. And so, like, I try to take it away from that. But, of course, we can always just do things because someone else likes it. And, like, we could find that to be fun. Yeah. But that's the difference between being goal-oriented and outcome-oriented. As long as someone isn't, like, upset with you or disappointed in themselves because squirting didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would love to one day get sensation for my nipples, but I'm still trying. And it's just probably not going to happen, but that's okay. We'll keep trying.
Right. Well, that's fair because I'm a big nipple person, but I'm not a squirter. So you and I can cover various spectrums together on this Zoom call.
We all
want
something the other day.
Right. That's true.
What is your relationship with porn and also squirting in porn?
Yeah.
So my relationship with, like, me watching porn?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to say that, like, I don't watch that much porn because I have a really good imagination. Mm. But I watch porn either for, like, ideas or entertainment, but I don't watch it to masturbate or cum. What I might do is I might, in my memory, recall, like, something that I saw and think about that as I masturbate or, like, pull an idea from there. But even when I was, like, watching some of the clips that we're going to go over, I was, like, I went to the Berlin Porn Film Festival, and it's, like, that's the shit I like. It's, like, I'm watching art, and, like, it can be arousing. Some things could be hot and give me ideas, but I don't have this, like, one-to-one ratio with, like, watch the porn, makes me hot, have to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tracks. And that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And it's changing a little bit because I think there's just, like, a more wider variety of porn that's available or that I've found, but, like, typically, cis men ruin it for me when they're in the porn. So usually I'm like, either I want to watch gay porn or lesbian porn, but I'm just very specific because there's a ton of things that cis men will do in porn that people love, but I hate most of those, and that'll ruin the whole thing for me. But I've been watching like female gaze, so it's just like really sexualizing the man in the scene. And so it's kind of like POV, but the other way around. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. They're just worshiping him.
Yeah.
I just like shit that you don't see that often. But even things where it's like femdom porn, that can still annoy me. So usually it's like safest bet to watch like queer, mm-hmm. lesbian, because then I don't have to deal with the possibility of
an intruder.
Yeah.
Totally.
But I usually, honestly, I find performers that I like, and I'll usually just look for them, because I enjoy them, or I resonate with them, or I'm like, oh, their body kind of feels like my body does when someone does that to me too. And that's the easiest way to find things that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about like squirting in mainstream porn?
It's fine, but like I think it's difficult because it perpetuates a lot of things. And by no means is porn doesn't have to be educational, but I think sex education should be as accessible as porn is.
Yes.
So it should be next to it. I think it more will bother me if I see where like someone's faking this, or the way that someone else is reacting to the squirt, and that'll just like annoy me, because I'm like, well, people do that to me all the time. This is annoying, and the people that are fetishizing it. Yeah. So it's fine that it's there. I get that people like it. Like that, none of that's going to change if people are attracted to it. But personally, watching it, if it's real and I can tell it's real, which usually a lot of the time I can be able to discern that, then I'm like, oh, that's cool. All right, let's look at this. Because when I was looking up squirting when I first started doing it, I was like, well, let's watch other people do it. Porn's a place I can do that.
Yeah.
And learning from it that way. So now it's almost more like a sports analyst that I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, we relate. I think that for me, it was like mainstream porn and squirting. I was like, this can't be real, you know, like just by the sheer volume of it. And also because like, you know, there was no spectrum of like fluid, you know, it was just like gallons. So I was like, how could I ever? And even when I did squirt, like it wasn't that much, but it just was like, you know, it was something that squirted out of my urethra. And I was like, pleasantly surprised. And I wish that there was more of a spectrum, you know?
Or even like always in porn, it's a lot of like the ejecting out of your body. So a lot of people believe if it doesn't eject, it's not squirt. Where they're that's not true. And for me, it's more, it just like falls out of my body. It's just like, it's like my water broke or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would like to just see more of that. Is it a lot of like the force? Cause like that, sometimes the ejecting happens too, but when it's a lot, it's just like a waterfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It goes back to the like the male gazy, like, well, we come a certain way, and there's even like a competitive aspect to that too, like more cum, ejecting crazy cum splattering the walls.
Yeah.
So a similar thing is applied to squirting, where it's like so much squirt, we're splashing the camera, we're shooting you in the eyeballs with it.
The splash.
Like, I would like to see a squirt bukkake. That's something I've been trying to like create for a while, but I've talked to King Noir about that, because he has a fantasy of being like gangbanged by a bunch of femmes. And
I was like,
please have a squirt bukkake. Yes. That would be great.
We need to make that happen.
I don't have any doubts in him. I'm sure he can.
Feel free to remind us if and when it does come out, because we need to do a bukkake episode with a switch like that. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I have some fun stats.
I love a stat.
Women are 44% more likely to search for squirting videos compared to men. The popularity of squirting decreases with age. And I feel like that's just because, you know, it's people like us being like, how do I do this?
You know, like, I don't care anymore. Or I did it.
Yeah. The popularity of squirting videos in general increased drastically between 2013 and 2015. I don't know what happened culturally then, but it became, because I feel like I didn't know about it until I was in like my 20s, you know?
Same. Yeah.
Or
like when I first heard about it, it was such a shamey thing. Like, this person's a gusher. Gross.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't thought about this in a while, but I actually think the vagina monologues helped introduce me to it, because I was a theater nerd in high school. And one of the monologues was like my flood. Was this woman referred to, and she referred, like, she was, it was a shame experience for her because she didn't know what it was and her partner didn't know what it was. And I think this was like an older woman sharing an experience. So this would have been decades ago, of just like having something happen in someone's car and it being like, oh, it's on the seats. And like, what is it? But I do remember vaguely learning about that. And also at that time, you know, I hate to admit, but being like, ooh, I'm glad that hasn't happened to me, or I don't do that, you know, but I didn't have the term squirting for it. You know, it was pre that, or my understanding of that.
Yeah. Right. In a way, it's like a good thing where it's like, okay, we're not shamed of it. But then once we're not shamed of something, then all of a sudden there's pressure and then it gets fetishized.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Why? How can it not?
Yeah.
Should we take a little break?
Let's take our break. We'll be right back.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back.
We're back. Talking about Coming Out of Space is the first video we will be discussing with Lola. We found this on Pink Label, directed by Francie Fabritz, starring Miss Sugar and Pepper.
Or Peppa. Spelled like Peppa Pig, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
which I was like,
you couldn't get that on your red.
I don't know shit about Peppa Pig, but I will be thinking about it. Yeah.
Totally. little blurb. Two lesbian women from out of space collide on Earth. In super slow motion, they fall on each other and start exploring their new body feeling on Earth. Weightlessness wanes. Gravity starts. A playful encounter with lesbian sex.
Hmm. I have another blurb. This is a note from the director, which I think is worth including.
I love a director's note.
Me too. What a nerd. It's important to me that Coming Out of Space deals with nude young female bodies and shows their usually hidden, quote unquote, imperfections. Although I will say it was like pretty perfect bodies. But through a consistent use of slow motion is a female body study and a persiflage, don't know that word, to normative images of female bodies and the notorious slow-mo male cum shot in mainstream porn. I love that because it was just a helpful thought to have in the back of my mind about the deliberation around the production of this film.
Intent, you know?
Yes, exactly.
It's important.
So I'm going to come out swinging. I love this shit.
I love it too. I really loved it. Yeah. I loved it because I love a strong edit, especially in porn. I love like porn that is also like an art film.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah, yes. And it definitely was. It was like, it was essentially just a bed and some great like sex lights and slow motion. But like the music that went along with it, the editing, like the soundtrack, all of it, it really heightened it and helped tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved that it was like so gleeful, like they were just enjoying themselves so much.
Yeah, the whole thing felt really playful, but also mm-hmm. high art. Like, I think sometimes it's hard to get whimsy into something that feels artistic. And yes. I'm generally actually pretty resistant to pretension in art. But because this was mm-hmm. like aware of itself and because it was playful, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really like subverting what porn is. And even had some like interesting subtle commentary. I mean, the lighting was like pink and blue, and I was like, yes. I see a gender something, yeah. something, you know?
Right.
Or somewhere.
And it was also just yeah. like genuinely beautiful and entertaining to watch.
Right.
I thought.
Yeah. It's like, this isn't a kind of thing that I'm going to like diddle myself to, but it had yeah. everything that I loved, like from beginning to end. Like, mm-hmm. the slow motion throughout, like, I could do with more slow motion in all of my porn in general.
Same.
And also, like, specifically boobs. I think I wrote down, like, slow-mo titties at one point. Yeah. But I love just, like, just watching the breasts move and jiggle. And then, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever done this, but, like, I have really big boobs. And I've, like, kind of, like, fought them with someone else who had big boobs. And it was as much fun as it looked like.
It yes. looks like a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yes.
It was, yeah. like, a lot of laughing and giggling.
Yeah, because but I mean, boobs are my partner jokes that I'm like a 15-year-old boy with my boobs because yeah. I'm always like, look at it jiggle.
Yeah,
but they were just kind of playing with each other's bodies and like giggling yeah. and having fun, which is just really infectious.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I did love like they like played with like arm flab at one point, and mm-hmm. like I loved that because like yeah, all boobs are just like sacks of fat, you know. But like, yes. but I love it, you know.
Yeah,
like, we love that jiggle. Mm-hmm. And there was this amazing shot. It was like they're just kind of exploring each other, like playing with like boob play and things like that. And then it was like hard, like cut to Cunnilingus with like a sound. It was like the like bram sound that you get from like Christopher Nolan movies. You know what I mean? Like, and I loved it. It was just like boom. Like here we are. Like here's the sex act.
We should say too, this has a really strong sci-fi motif.
Yes.
Like there's voiceover at the very beginning, which is the only dialogue
yeah.
that's like, Dyke Sugar and Dyke Peppa just arriving at their destination. And yeah. then we like commence video. Mm-hmm. Also, they introduce dildos at one point. They're like lying on each other and these like dildos fall from the sky.
Yeah.
And then this like whimsical, like alien sound effects and music help depict the dildos like as alien creatures. Mm. Like they're sort of bouncing around in slow motion, but it makes it feel like you're watching these little creatures exploring their bodies.
Mm.
I was like, this is brilliant. What a like
yeah.
cool like way to yeah. to make the dildo this like fun, playful thing rather than yeah. like, here's the sex toy.
What are your thoughts on like dialogue in general in porn?
In moderation.
Yes.
I like, yes. I mean, it depends on the execution. You know, like there's an exception to any rule. But
yeah.
my personal preference is like a quick setup that helps build this like, ooh, tension. This is why we want to see these people fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then intimate communication that has to do with the sex.
Right.
But if there's like heavy dialogue that's like, this is the scenario. We want to remind you of the
yeah.
scenario.
No.
It usually takes me out, or it makes it feel really campy, which can mm-hmm. be fun and purposeful in a different context. But generally like minimal dialogue is all I want.
Right. Like if we can get the relationship and the tension with something other than dialogue, that's what I want. You know, that's what I'm looking for. We can do it with just a look, we can do it with sound, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like that more than dialogue because
give me something to invest in these characters.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously I love to hear like communication during sex and I'm always like grateful for that. But yeah, I don't mm-hmm. I don't need like 5 minutes of exposition, you know.
Yeah,
I don't need a voiceover being like, well, I was just having a wonderful day when, you know, like that's I don't need that.
Somebody knocked at the door.
Yeah.
I also we should talk about the squirting.
Oh, yeah. Right.
There
squirting
is squirting
in slow motion.
Yeah. Squirting yeah. in slow motion. And fairly early on, I liked
yes.
that the squirting just kind of happened and mm-hmm. felt detached from a like a narrative of, and then we come and we squirt. Like this whole thing felt nonlinear, which I often really love in a
yes.
porn to get us away from the like,
you
we do
this.
Cunnilingus, we do blowjob, we do one position, then we do another position. Like it can feel very rote watching a lot of mainstream porn. So I love anything that breaks up that structure. And I love that the squirting operated in this way where it just kind mm-hmm. of happened and we played with fluids and then saw fluids again later. And some of it was exaggerated, I think, on purpose.
Yeah.
Like when...
Like the end?
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah. When she has like a bucket of liquid dropped on her, I was like, we get that that's not exactly...
Yeah. It was, yeah, I felt like it was like, you know, like poking fun at like the stereotypical like male cum shot. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
I really enjoyed the camera angles because like one of the thing, I'm the kind of person, if I'm watching porn or not, especially if I'm high, I just see how everything gets made. And
yes,
I was like,
my high brain does the same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. It like deconstructs the art.
Which can make things better if I'm just like, oh my God, they were totally riffing and this happened, whatever it was. But so many times in a lot of mainstream porn, but not also just all porn, the positioning and the angle they're in is specifically like, let's move this way so the camera can see my vulva more and the camera can see your dick more, your fingers.
Yeah.
And instead of like, find a smarter camera angle. And I feel like there were a lot of like from below shots and different things that were very creative. So I never felt like that in this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I was actually like not aware of camera because it felt like the camera was incorporated in the scene. That's what you want to see, right?
Yeah.
It was more in comparison to the other one because there was one of those positions that I'm like, oh, that didn't happen in this.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the thing about like the dildos because I felt like when I was watching it, when it was like, because it, you know, it was like a harness drops on them and then two dildos. It felt like it was like an outside source kind of like imposing this on them.
That's what I
like,
thought too.
Yeah, interesting.
The universe was like dildo. Yeah.
Well, and it was like it was almost being like, this is what you should do. This is what lesbian sex is, you know? And then they didn't. But then they didn't use it like you would assume they would. Which I thought was smart. You know, it felt like it was like, you have to do this like this, you know? And then they put the dildos on their foreheads and like played and like wrestled with each other.
I love a good comment on like societal norms.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I love a video open for interpretation. Like I was off like making friends with the dildos like they were woodland creatures.
Right.
And y'all were like, oh, the patriarchal hand.
Yeah. Like society.
I take all interpretations. I love
it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really
there
hot.
There was like a good amount of like wrestling in there for me too. It was just, and they were laughing and that was some of the noise that we got was the laughter. And I love good laughing during sex of it just being silly. And they flow right in between the silly to like the serious and the erotic, which is, it shows that it doesn't have to be weird or awkward. It's like, you can laugh and then have an orgasm.
And sex should be fun, you know?
Also going back to the like wrestling and just like, the way they were engaging with their bodies, I think it, going back to the director's note, because I can't help it. I love this. Again, this is taking down the tropes of like, okay, here we go. Perfect female body positioning. And the female body is has to move in a way that makes it idyllic and look a certain kind of way. Like I loved, while I was like, these are very conventionally attractive bodies, I think.
Yeah.
I still love that like we're watching like we already said, like fat ripple, and we're watching these women like tackle each other and like wrap their legs around each other really awkwardly in slow motion, as opposed to having their tits be like perked up just so and having them hold themselves or control their bodies in a certain way to be presentable and attractive in a conventional way. So again, I just loved that. I thought that was really brilliant.
Yeah.
Agreed. I love this video.
I love it too. Thought it was hot.
It was great. It was like a different way that we see squirting. It's really in my like five-part series squirting video, we have like my squirt going in slow motion too. And it's like, it's fucking cool to see in the way that you see it when something's not penetrating you. So like, I really enjoyed especially the slow motion of that, because you're like, bodies are crazy, man.
Especially because I feel like in mainstream porn, when we see squirting, it's always like slightly sped up. It's like Bang Bros or something. And it's like gross and like gushing on the camera. And there's like splash marks on the camera, which is what we see in the other video.
Speaking of.
Yes.
Let's talk about horny brunette Amy Brooke learns how to have a squirting orgasm. Does she?
Yeah, Amy, I think she does.
I mean, I think we get there. I just was like, did we really get the step-by-step or did we just somehow miraculously make that happen? But it's all right. So we open on, I don't even know how to describe where we are.
A doctor's office? I don't know. Like
sort of?
It's a squirt doctor.
Yeah, it feels like a weird waiting room.
Yeah.
It almost feels like one of those like shabby like when you had to buy weed medicinally, like kinds of dispensaries, we were like, this feels very scrappy. Like we're doing what we can.
The first thing I hated about this was the fact that she had to go see a man in order to make her teach her how to squirt in order to please her male partner.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like she wants to do it, you know. So I was annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. And then the guy shows up, the squirting teacher shows up, and he like immediately crosses a boundary and like makes out with her and
gets their name wrong.
Yeah.
Also says, first thing you need about squirting is it's not piss. And she's like, babe, I told you so. I was like, I don't know if this is like attempting to be educational or just.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it was trying to do. But
let's hope it wasn't. I think like, you know, they were probably just like, okay, SEO, let's say these three things.
I think that's about as deep as the strategy went.
And he's like, the first thing you have to do is you have to moisturize the pussy.
Oh,
and
that was like the worst part of the whole thing.
I know. And then he just spits on his hand. Like, I was like, lube, maybe, you know?
Like, it's like how that's enough moisture. And then he just goes right in.
Yeah. Like, how dare you? And then, you know, if he like starts like massaging her G-spot and then just like goes to town. And it's like the exact thing that anytime you watch like a squirting video or like an like a how to squirt video, it's like you don't have to do it like this. Like you don't do it like that. And that's what he shows us is how to like fucking like ramrod, like just like aggressively go at her. Like I was like, that looks painful. That is not at all what I want to do to myself. Like if a partner did that to me, I would like grab the wrist and be like, what are you doing? You know, like to just go from like 0 to 60 like that, like so quickly. Mm. And I just feel like
because that's the assumption. It's not like harder, faster equals better. And that's what you need to do to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Harder, faster equals like, you know, massive amounts of squirt. Oh, also, if something that I hated was that he was like, all we know is that it just causes like a she comes harder than algebra or something like that. Like that's what squirting is. Yeah. I was like, that's not true. Like, don't put that out there.
Yeah.
So you can have it without having an orgasm.
And then he, what I can only describe as like finger paints her vulva. Oh, yeah. Like,
I call that a windshield wiper.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's squirting in great volume and he's splitter splattering it around.
Yeah.
Like splattering
to be fair, I like that. I like that.
Do you?
I like a good windshield wiper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like genuinely like, curious about it, but I like it just was such a short, fast video of like, we're gonna fast and hard do it and then like, brrr, like send it everywhere. And I was like, okay, I mean, I could see that being fun, but
it did remind me of like a kid playing with a garden hose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm also sure I details, would do that, but
when they come into the office, like everything, furniture, table, they all have drop cloths on them. And I'm like, that's kind of funny, but it's also ridiculous at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Gallagher show. Yeah. That's his name, right? The watermelon smasher.
Yeah. But like, she comes there with her husband, and like, he kind of disappears at the end. At first, he's like watching this happen, and then he just goes away.
Right.
I love me some good cuckolding, but I like more sweeter cuckolding of it. And it seemed a little cheesier of just like, oh, I'm so the dumb cheesy husband who can't make anyone squirt.
Yeah. We like, needed off, him there because it had to be about the male experience of this, right?
Right.
Like, of course, she couldn't just be coming
for her
to
own,
coming, not intended with a double meaning there, but she couldn't have just been going to explore this on her own. It has to have been involving, you know, it's that old
I
thing.
Do think she was actually squirting, though. I was like, when I was watching it, I thought it was going to be like a fake one. I'm like, no, it looks like she is.
Yeah.
She really did. Yeah.
What do you watch for when you're like, hey, that's this fake. Is how I think I know? Is it just a feeling like one sees the other, like he takes one to know one? Or
if it's going to be fake, it's usually as a result of like douching beforehand. So like leaving liquid inside of the vagina so that when something comes out, it kind of like releases in that way. Mm. And then they can use their muscles to squeeze more out of it.
Gotcha.
And the way that it happened between the first squirt and subsequent squirts, I was like, that seems about right.
Okay.
That seems
right. Got it. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, it's like once you get the first one, like 5 through 10 are a lot easier and they get bigger. But the first one usually isn't like the big one.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Also, he said like, who's winning?
Oh, yeah. Point. Who's winning?
Like, what?
It's a race?
Yeah. What's the competition? conversation, dude.
When did it become a race?
Yeah.
This person has such fragile masculinity. It's insane.
Yeah. And he like slaps her vulva like he's giving it a high five after like a sports game, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
to be like, for all of these things, to be fair, I'm like, I have like a more moderated version of that. Like, instead of this like really aggressive come hither that could make someone bleed, I have like a motorcycle rev technique that you can do to yourself or someone else. And like, there's another one I call pussy slapping where you use ideally the back of your hand, but that's hard if it's your own hand.
Yeah.
And it's like a light, it's like you're doing a little bit of impact play on the vulva. And like those things can feel really good if you like want them to feel good unless you're just performing on a vulva.
Right.
Like, it's a fine line, right? It's also like a fine line between like, I'm actually doing this for your pleasure and there's like something in that impact or that engagement versus like, this is ridiculous and like very over the top and for the sake of the camera, you know?
Right.
Because like, if someone is having sex with me for a performance thing, because in general with me, like, it's the thing that's hard is like the first time I squirt, probably not orgasming, and there's, but they think that, oh, because porn, my job is done. It's like, we could have had so much more fun. You know, when it's all about them, there's like less focus on my body, and it's like, okay, that was okay. Like, I call it sexual applause. Like, you get a little bit of a clap for that, but it really makes it nothing about me and my body and my experience, even though I'm squirting.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
It's just kind of like, it's upset. I want people to care less about squirting.
Yeah.
That is like my goal. And I mean, because we have to let people establish their own relationship with it, because some people squirt and hate it and some people squirt and love it. And some people, it depends on the day. And we just need to let people's bodies and what they do, them establish their own relationship with it. Because when I started squirting, I was like, ooh, what a fun party trick. People shame me for it. So let's find someone who fetishizes it. But then the person who fetishizes it expects me to be at a like performance level.
Yeah.
Body optimal position at all times. I'm like, well, I don't want to like have to do all this hydration and like, you know, worry if my body's going to work today or not. Like, it does most of the time, but it also doesn't sometimes. And also like, masturbating is fucking annoying now. It just is.
The press that goes in there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, sometimes I've like totally cried and been like, I don't want to squirt today.
Oh, God.
But other times I'm like, let's destroy this bed.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny to think about. I've never considered that, you know?
Yeah.
Just how
I think you said a thing in your lecture that you were like, you can control it, but it's easier to say yes and do it than it is to stop and hold it off, hold it back.
Yeah, like, I can always choose to, like, make myself squirt. And sometimes, like, that's more effort than I should probably make. Like, I've totally gotten a headache from, like, trying a little too hard. But it's easier to do that and for me to, like, have sex with someone or, like, engage with someone. And then to be like, hey, could you just, like, not squirt this time? I'm like, so you want me to hold myself back from having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mm.
Huh. Like, I wish I could, man. If I could, that would be a lot easier, a lot drier.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Think of all the laundry. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about, like, the comments I always get whenever I, like, talk or educate about squirting. And, like, aside from all, like, the pee comments, which I don't really care about, there's always the one person who is like, don't feel bad about squirting. I'm a man and I really like it. Therefore, I represent all men. So therefore, you should like it because our opinion matters. Or dude who's like, I can make everyone do it. And so it's just a matter of finding the right person to do it for you. Slide into my DMs like if you want me to prove you wrong. It's like, that's just gross on a lot of levels.
Not at all. So not at all what I needed. Thank you for your unwarranted and unsolicited approval, though.
Yeah, an opinion.
It's like, you can, if you don't have a vulva, you can like squirting, you can love it, that's fine, but you don't need to project that onto other people. Just love it. And I love mustaches. I don't need to let everyone with a mustache know.
Right. Or be like, you know, hey, if you had a mustache, that'd be cool. Just saying.
I want my partner to shave his beard so bad. And he's like, I won't do it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But if you wanted to surprise me on my birthday, it'd be great.
Just throwing it out there.
Just gonna plant seeds, you know, leave the door open.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing so much of your personal experience about this. It's so valuable for us and for our listeners to hear.
Right.
A, that like your personal experience doesn't represent everyone's, of course, but also just to truly hear like your journey and all the details around it. It's so much more valuable than our research on its own. So
thank you so much for joining us.
How we can use porn too, where like it doesn't have to be educational, but it can also be validating to see someone's body behave the way your body does.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, like porn is evolving, hopefully, and becoming more inclusive and representative. And porn isn't sex education, but sex education should be as accessible as you said. And sex education, I think, should include porn literacy.
Yes.
So that if you are curious about squirting, you have some help around like, what should I be looking for? What should I be looking out for? So that I can parse the shit from the real, you know?
Make sure you're
They're
watching the right stuff.
They're apparently doing that in Boston. They have like porn literacy courses for like school age people, which is really impressive.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I hope that more of that, we see more of that in future years. Me too. Us pray.
Right. Because I don't think porn's going anywhere.
For Boston, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to plug before you pop off? I mean, we talked about your lecture and your classes. Like, if people are curious about this, they can literally pay you, as they should, to access your videos. Anything else you want to drop here?
Yeah, where can I look for listeners to find you?
Lolajean.com is my website. It's also my handles on Twitter and Instagram with the DOT spelled out. But right now I have like a real high quality squirting and pegging comprehensive series. I have recordings of all of my classes that I shoot on the fly over Zoom. And there's a wrestling and erotic asphyxiation one that I'm filming in like a month and a half that should come out soon that I'm very excited about as well.
Cool. Fucking awesome. Yeah. Keep us updated on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have my my co-teacher, who's my wrestling coach. You should have them on for it. Because, okay, I mean, they've taught me mostly everything I know. We just, figure this shit out together.
Oh, amazing. We would, we'll genuinely ask you for that intro. That would be great.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
I love
Thank you so
porn.
Much again for joining us. This has been fucking awesome.
Yes. Thanks for coming on the show. And thank you guys for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O. On Twitter at GOP the podcast. On our website at girlsonporn.com. And on our Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you want to drop us a little review on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave your handle and we'll thank you and tag you.
Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.